4. The book of James, chapter 4, verse number 8. James, chapter 4, verse number 8. page 1309 in your Scofield Bible. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye devil-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law. That's a heap of statement there. I'm gonna dwell on that after a while, but I want to read it again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. That's talking about Christians now. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Our Heavenly Father. What a wonderful book. What a wonderful subject. Probably the subject the nearest to the heart of God. Justice. For thou art just. When the angels came to sing, they did not sing, loving, loving, loving is the Lord of hosts, but holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They did not sing, gracious, gracious, gracious is the Lord of hosts, but holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Because the nearest thing to thy great heart is doing right, which is what justice is all about. Help us to want to do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, teach us tonight the heart of our great God and help us to enter into His concept of what is right and what is just and what is holy. Amen. I'm going to give you tonight 10 statements. I want you just to follow me line upon line and precept upon precept. We will, as we go, step over some familiar territory on our way. Most of our journey will be new territory, but occasionally we will step across some place that we have stepped before. I want to first make an introductory statement as I talk about justice. The other day, two of our young men had been arrested because they were witnessing in a trailer mobile home park, and they were guilty. They did not know they were guilty. They didn't know it was wrong. They knew it was against the law. They did not know that a mobile home park was private property. They thought a street was all streets are public property. They didn't know they did wrong. But I went with them to court, and one of our fine men, who's an attorney, Brother Bolduc, went with us to court. And I found myself wishing that everybody could be fair in judging as that judge was. I heard that judge make this statement to somebody. He said, I think you're guilty, but I don't know you're guilty, so I declare you acquitted and innocent. And I thought, I wish Christians were that way. I wish Christians would be as fair as probably a heathen judge would be. I want to talk to you again about this matter of justice. Let's go back first to the purpose of the law. Set up straight and get your brain in gear, let's go back to the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to protect, or the purpose of government is to protect three things. What's the first one? Say it. My person. Second, what? My property. Third, what? My freedom. All right, now follow me carefully. The first statement I want to make is originally each man did his own. Originally, every man, every family, and the head of every family, are you listening to me now? Protected his own family. He protected his own person. He protected his own property. He protected his own freedom. However, that's number one. Every man did his own. Number two, as the population centralized, we chose people from among us to protect the rest of us. I'm going to let us on the platform, the men on the platform tonight, represent a community. Now, we're going to go way back yonder, and Mr. O'Clair over here lives out alone on a farm maybe somewhere, and Mr. O'Clair protects his own three things. His own what? Person. His own what? Property. His own what? Freedom. And of course, when I say his own person, he protects the person of his family. Of course, in that case, Mrs. O'Clair does it, but she's on the platform here, and I've got to use him. But that's what he does. And then Mr. Hooker here protects his own what? Person, and his own what? Property, and his own what? Freedom. All right? And each one of these men did that. However, we find ourselves living in the same neighborhood, and it seems rather foolish for each of us, since we live in the same neighborhood, and maybe even on the same block. But we move to a little town, and we form a town. All right? Now then, this is what our government came from. We chose, and that's the third. Well, okay, I want to give you number one. Each man originally did his own. Number two, as the population centralized, we chose people from among us to protect the rest of us. All right, number three, God then chose groups and placed people to lead them. Now, in our little neighborhood here, we're going to have Dr. Evans. He is going to be the pastor of the local church in the neighborhood. And Brother Lapina here, he is going to be the local store owner in the local neighborhood. And Brother Young, he is going to be the local, I'm sorry, Brother Young, where's Brother Young? Brother Bass is going to be the local school teacher, and that certainly is appropriate. And Brother Colston is going to be the local principal of the school. And then all of these fellows, each of these men, has his own area of responsibility. Now, that means that, what are you, Reference? He's the local pastor. What are you, Brother? All right, now, that means that God has given and chosen groups and placed people to lead these individual groups for the protection of the person and the property and the freedom of the rest of the people. For example, as before, God gives a ruler to lead a nation. God gives a leader to rule or lead a state. God gives a mayor to lead or rule a city. God gives a pastor to lead or rule the church. And God gives a teacher to lead or rule the classroom. And God gives a principal to rule or lead the school. So each of these has his own area where he is the judge. Don't miss it. Don't miss this now. Don't miss it. All right? We've moved into a society, and each of us has his own little area where he is the judge. That brings me to point number four. Now, the body politic does not judge. Don't miss it now. The body politic does not judge. He judges his domain. He judges his domain. He judges his domain. For example, for the Bass is the teacher. It's his job to judge in the classroom. Now, it is not Dr. Evans' job to judge in the classroom. And it's not Brother Bass's job to judge in the church. And it's not Brother Bass's job, Dr. Evans' job, to judge in the business establishment. What are you doing, John? He's the principal. And so the administration of the school is under the judgment of the principal. I said, number one, each man, don't leave me now, each man originally did his own, protected his own what? Talk to me, his own what? Person, his own what? And his own what? Freedom. But as the population, number two, centralized, we chose people from among us to protect the rest of us. Number three, God then chose groups and placed people to judge them and lead them. Number four, now the body politic does not judge. Number five, the body politic chooses the one to judge or lead, and the one who's chosen the body politic is the one that does the judging and leading. You guys know what I'm trying to say? For example, our nation doesn't call a special business meeting of all the people of the nation every time somebody commits a crime.
Or let's say here's the guy going 75 miles an hour down Sibley Street. Well, you know what we're supposed to do. We call a meeting of all the citizens of heaven. And we vote on how to punish that man. No, last Thursday, when I went with these young men over in Illinois, and that judge decided. The whole county didn't come together and decide. That judge made the decision. Now, it's our job. That's what democracy is. We choose those who judge over us. And that's what democracy is. Democracy is not all of us judging in every case. It is us choosing, electing, as God directs us, people to be over us in each area. For example, in a school. A pupil breaks the law in the school. All the students don't get together and vote over what the punishment is. And all the teachers don't get together and vote what the punishment is. Somebody has been chosen to lead that school and to judge in that school. And that's God's plan. Always has been God's plan. One whole book of the Bible is about judges, and one whole era of the life of the Israelites, they were led by judges. The country was ruled and governed by judges. And judges have always been God's plan. We choose somebody from us, and that one judges between us when there is a judgment call. For example, a business. If somebody breaks a rule in a business, all the employees don't get together and vote on how they punish that person. And the same thing is true in a classroom, or the same thing is true in a school, or the same thing is true in a city. So we delegate the authority. Listen now. We delegate the authority. Now we choose the authority. Hey, that's what I did a while ago. But it's because you're condemning the law. You're hating the law. What does it mean? It means you have chosen people to judge over you, and if you judge instead of them, you're hating that which you set up. Anybody listen to me? I'm saying that you're hating that which you set up. So, for example, we choose a school teacher. Whether it's public or private school, doesn't matter. That teacher is in charge of that room. Now, if the parents in that room decide to execute the justice to the students that break the rules in that room, then the parents are despising, the Bible says, the law of that room. For the law says that teacher's in charge, and the law says that principal's in charge, and the law says that mayor's in charge, and the law says that businessman's in charge, and the law says that that pastor is in charge, and the law says that the different people who have different authority have been chosen by us to judge the rest of us. And if we individually, listen now, if we individually decide to take over the judgment, then we're despising the very law that we set up. Listen, Baptist people need what I'm teaching tonight more than maybe the most anything I know in the whole world. I mean, we judge each other. We criticize each other. We slander each other. We spread stuff about each other. That's not, and when we do it, we despise the law. We are entering into an area where we have appointed people to take care of that. All right? Number 6. We vote about the lawmakers, but not about the law. There's not one single law on the statute of the city of Hammond that the citizens of Hammond put there. Not one. There's not a single law on the state of Indiana that the citizens put there. We put lawmakers there to make our laws. It is our job to choose the lawmakers. Listen now, it's our job to choose the lawmakers. Now, if we don't like the laws they make, we have another choice. We can impeach them. We can vote them out the next time the election comes. But it is our job to elect them. It is their job to pass the laws. Now, it may be I don't like all their laws. Now, for example, I don't like the seatbelt law. I'm not against you wearing a seatbelt. I just personally don't like the seatbelt law. But I'm not going to impeach the seatbelt law. And as soon as I get one big enough for me, I'm going to wear one. One of the most embarrassing things I do is get on the airplane and fasten that seatbelt, and I can't believe the person before me was that small. It's irritating. You understand what I mean. Jack, you understand more than understand what I mean. But I'm saying, so what do? Hear me now. We originally protected our own person, protected our own property, protected our own freedom, but we moved to town. And all of us cannot do it, and it's foolish for all of us to do it. So we elect people to protect our freedom, and they're only supposed to pass laws that protect our person, protect our freedom, or protect our property. Consequently, it is our job in a body politic, it is our job to elect those who are over us and let them pass the laws for us and make the judgment. I say it again. That judge last Thursday afternoon didn't ask me, Thursday morning didn't ask me my opinion. I told him my opinion, but he didn't ask my opinion. And he didn't say, you folks in the courtroom, you heard this man's plea for these two young men. Now do I hear motion and second what we do? And somebody made a motion. I make a motion and second that we put him in jail for 5 years. And we didn't vote. No vote. The judge did it, and that was it. And brother, all we said was, yes, sir, your honor. Yes, sir, your honor. Yes, sir, your honor. That's all we said. Why? That man was chosen by the rest of us to judge us. And we put him there. Now it's his job to judge us. And if all of us become judges, then you've got chaos and you also have anarchy. Number 7, if we enforce the law, we despise the law and go against whom we choose. If we enforce the law. Now listen carefully. You folks that run up to your teacher, child's teacher, every time your child gets in trouble. If you run up there and say, this is what you ought to do to that boy over here. In the first place, what you're doing is you're despising the law. There is a rule, there are rules already set in that school for punishing that child. And the rules were set by the proper people, the deacon board of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, whom you elected to be the school board of our schools. It's understood that we elect our deacons. Those deacons form the school board of our schools. Now, those deacons made those rules. Now, those rules are enforced by the principal and the teachers. Now, when you go out there and take things in your own hands and say, this is what I think the student should have happened to the student, then you're despising the law that you set up. Now look, every one of us, that's number 8, every one of us have an area in which to judge. Listen carefully. Nearly every one of us have an area where we judge. Brother John, where do you judge? At home. Are you sure? No, sir. Lane, where do you judge? I thought you were going to say at home. Where do you judge, Brother Bass? Brother Ray, where do you judge? Brother Keith, where do you judge? Where do you judge, Brother Roy? Brother Jim, you judge. You judge somewhere else too, Brother Roy. Sunday school class, where else? Bus ministry. Brother, where do you judge? Sailor ministry. And Brother Claire? School budget. And at home. All right. Now, each of these fellows has an area where he's to judge. Is that right? Now, he has been chosen to judge that area. Then that means if you don't like the fellow, you can vote him out. Do I hear a motion? But if you don't vote him out, he has been chosen, listen now, to judge over an area. And practically everybody in this room tonight has some area where you are to be the judge. Number 9, don't get your hopes up. Number 9 and 10 are long boogers. No one is to enter our area, and we are to enter no one else's area. See what I said? See what I said? Each of us, let me give you the 10 points again. Each man did his own protection of his what? Person, his what? And his what? Freedom. And then, as the population centralized, we chose people from among us to protect the rest of us. Number 3, God then chose groups and placed people to lead them. Before, now the body politic does not judge. Number 5, the body politic chooses the ones to lead. Number 6, we vote about the lawmakers, but not about the law. Number 7, if we enforce the law, we despise the law and go against whom we choose. Number 8, now most of us have an area in which we judge. Number 9, no one is to enter our area, and we are to enter no one's area. Look at Romans chapter 14. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Romans chapter 14. Hey, everybody turn to it. Romans chapter 14. Verse Page 1207. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Look at this now. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? There it is. Every church in America that's having trouble tonight, it's over this. It's over going contrary to this verse right here. Who art thou? Who are you, Mr. Evans? Who are you to judge this classroom? You're not even principal of his school. Who are you, Mr. Bass, to judge his family? That's his domain. You can't judge. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? Who are you, Brother Lapina, to judge the staff of this pastor here? Who are you? Not your job to judge that staff. It's your job to judge your family and judge the youth program. You see, look, listen to me. Every single person has an area where he is supposed to judge. It may be a family. It may be a classroom. It may be a church. It may be a business. But everybody is chosen. And the Bible says, look at verse 4 again, who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth and falleth. See what it said? His own master is supposed to decide whether he stands or falls. Now, you say, I don't agree with what it did. You may not agree with what it did, but you don't have any right to have any authority in it because that's another man's servant. See? I don't have a right to go to Dr. Geargost and say, Dr. Geargost, I want you to do this to your nurses. I mean, I want you to treat nurses. They ought not to work for 3 hours a week. He says, what business is that yours? They're my servants, not yours. Then he says to me, by the way, I don't like the way you handle your staff. I say, you take care of your nurses, I'll take care of my staff. That's what God is saying here. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? The truth is, we are not supposed to sit in judgment on anybody that's outside our own jurisdiction to judge. Well, you say, where's freedom? Where's democracy? You elect the people in charge. You choose the people in charge. Who art thou, it says in verse 4, that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. His own master is supposed to decide whether he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. All right? So I said, no one is able to enter the area. Let me illustrate. About 2 years ago, I submitted an ad to the Sword of the Lord. Dr. Hudson sent the ad back and said he cannot run that ad. You know what I did? I got furious. I got on the airplane and I flew down to the Sword of the Lord. And I said, let me tell you something, Buster. I'll do everything I can to destroy this paper. Because you're not running this thing like, you're not running like it. No, that's his business. If he doesn't want to take my ad, that's his business. Not my business, that's his business. And if he tries to tell me what to do as pastor of this church, it's none of his business, it's what I do. In other words, every man has his own area. And by the way, it's not right, Brother Eddie, for you to tell Brother Bass how to handle his children. Because to his own master, the children stand or fall. And it's not right for Brother Bass to tell you how to handle your children. And it's not right for Brother O'Clair to tell Brother Hooker how to handle the state ministry. Because every organization has to have a leader. And that leader is chosen to judge. And nobody's supposed to judge another man's servant. He to his own master, he standeth or falleth. Another's child, another student, another's employee, another Sunday school class, another city. Everybody who fills a place of authority, chosen to fill that place of authority, is supposed to be the judge of that place of authority. And people outside that place of authority or inside who do not have that position, but you can't operate a nation without that. You can't do it. I mean, we've got judges down here. Listen to me, we've got judges down here at the city hall. And they've got to decide what fine you pay if you're speeding. And it's up to them. We can't have a city vote. And you have no right to walk in there and say, hey, tell you something. You tried. And you have a nice striped outfit on. But you can't run a town that way. And you can't run a state that way. And you can't run a school that way. And you can't run a church that way. And you can't run a classroom that way. You can't run a business that way. What I'm saying is the inmates can't run the institution. The authority, chosen authority, is supposed to run it. And here's the sad thing. Authority needs to stick together, and it's that way in almost every case except in Baptist churches. Almost every case. I go across this country. I do not recall the last time I went to a church to preach that somebody didn't come to me and tell me some mistake the pastor's making. A complainer. And I don't know when I've been to a church that somebody didn't come to me and say, I'm leaving or I just left. And in every case, they were judging another man's servant. They were entering into another person's area and judging. A nation like that will be destroyed. A church like that will be destroyed. A school like that will be destroyed. And a family like that will be destroyed. Here's the interesting thing. You will take your little flock at home, your little family, and you will say, this is my family, and I have a right to decide. And you do. And then you will turn right around and say to somebody who has another area of authority, you don't have a right to decide. You do what I say do. But that's not democracy. That's not free. And that's not Bible. Somebody has to be in charge. A coach, the team has to have a coach. A squad has to have a corporal. A platoon has to have a sergeant and a captain and a lieutenant. A company has to have a captain. A battalion has to have a major. A regiment has to have a colonel. A division has to have a general. And each of those has his own little areas of authority. And he has a right to make those decisions. You won't win a war without it. And you won't build a home without it. And you won't build a church without it. And you won't build a school without it. And you won't build a business without it. You have got this. You watch very carefully these employees that are buying these companies. You watch carefully. You watch carefully the future of United Airlines. Just watch it carefully. When the employees own the company, then they are over the bosses. You watch it carefully. I dare you. It won't work. Somebody has got to be the boss man. And that somebody has got to make the decisions, and that somebody's got to make the judgment calls. Number 10. We are not to speak evil or judge outside our area. Look at James chapter 4 again, would you please? James chapter 4. This is really worth your seeing. James chapter 4. Speak, verse 11, speak not evil of one another, brethren. All right, look at me. That word, that term, speak not evil, is a Greek word, comes from the word katalelio. Katalelio. It means, actually what the word means, it means talking based on hearsay. Don't talk based on hearsay. Well, look at the rest of it. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speak of evil of all. That word judge in the Greek is the word krino, K-R-I-N-O. And that word judge means, I'm going to read it because I've written it down exactly, that word judge means to criticize based on facts. Hear me now, listen carefully. The word speak not evil, and then you go back to James, you got it and I lost it here. So speak not evil, one of the brethren. That means you're not supposed to speak about people without knowing the facts. And then it says, and he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, and that says, don't speak evil of your brother when you know the facts. What's that? Don't speak evil when you know the facts. Why? Because you are only supposed to speak evil when you know the facts, and it is within the area or the circumference of your own little empire over which you're the judge. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speak of evil of his brother and judges his brother speak of evil of the law. What's he say? Okay, follow me. If I go to Eddie Lupino's house and I say, Eddie, you've not been rearing your children. By the way, it's very interesting to know how much more you know about rearing somebody else's children than yours. You know who experts are? Experts are people that know exactly how to rule places where they're not supposed to rule. But it's amazing how much more you know about how to handle somebody else's little area of authority than you do yours. Now, you might better check and see how yours has turned out. You might better check and see how yours is going. I'm saying that is not my business how you handle your children. That's your business. If I know what you're supposed to do, I'm not supposed to get upset with you if you don't do it or tell you to do it, right? Right or wrong? Right? Because that's his area of judgment, right? All right? So I'm not supposed to speak evil of him and out, of hearsay, and I'm not supposed to judge him about what I know to be a fact. I'm not to judge his children. He's supposed to judge his children. You're not supposed to judge the English class. You judge the Bible class. You're not supposed to judge the grade school, Doc, so quit it. You're supposed to judge the college. You're supposed to judge the music program and the high school two department. You're not supposed to be upset with the junior high department if they don't do what you think they should do, even if you know the facts. And if you know the facts, it's still none of your business. It's up to the junior high department or superintendent to get the facts. So what it says here, it says, speak not evil of one another. Don't speak things on hearsay. And don't even speak things when you know the facts if it's out of your area to judge. Look at it again. Speak not evil of the brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. Now, what is it? What does it mean? Okay. Look. Our deacon board voted last fall to make... You got a principal up here? Okay, I'll just... To make Mr. Sisson principal of the grade school. And to make Mr. Vogel principal of the junior high school. And to make Mr. Weber principal of the high school. Now, follow me carefully. The board voted to employ those people in those positions. Now, follow me carefully. If they are the law, you follow me? Then it's the job of the principals to enforce the law or rules set by the board. Is that right? All right? Then when you say that's not the way it ought to be run, you're speaking evil of the law and the law that you set up. And no society can run without that. No institution can run without that. Consequently, it says, speak not evil of one of the brethren, and he that speaketh evil, which is hearsay, and judgeth, which is based on facts, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law, which means that you are not judging the person, look at me carefully. You're not judging the person, you're judging the law set up of the people that made the law. You're judging the law. You say, I don't like that rule. Well, I'm sorry to say this, but I don't like all the rules in heaven. You've heard me say this. There's a stop sign out there on Columbia that's of the devil. It's demon-possessed. It's right there in front of St. John Bosco Catholic Church, and you know why it's there. Well, they put a stop sign out here to protect Baptists. They don't care about Baptists. They want the Catholics to live and the Baptists to die. But when I get to that stop sign, I stop. By the way, I stop when it gets all signs. I don't say I stop. That's what it says. Doesn't say slow, say stop. But I stop. But I hate it. But it is not my job to decide where the stop signs are in the city of Hammond. It is somebody else's job, duly chosen and elected by the body politic, and they have their area to decide, and it's their area to judge, and we'll have anarchy if I decide that I'm going to tell them how to judge. Well, that's good. All right? Both are wrong according to the Bible. Judging by hearsay and judging by fact if it's outside your little area. Okay? I look out and I see a lady over here tonight, Miss Brett, who's a dental technician. Is that right? What? Hygienist. And that's bigger than dental technician, hygienist. Now, so happens that she works for my dentist. She is a student in a college where I'm the chancellor. Now, when she comes to that college, she obeys the authority because that's our domain. But I go down to the stupid dentist. She tells me what to do. She's seen parts of me you never have seen. And she tells me, well, now, I obey her. I got to tell you this. She looked at me one day when I was there getting my teeth cleaned. She cleaned them. Not before I went to the dentist to have him drill for oil. And she's a hygienist. And she came out and she had this little set of, you know, teeth. And she showed me how I was supposed to do. Supposed to brush up like that. And you're supposed to use dental care every teeth every day. And she spent about 15 minutes showing me how to take care of my teeth. And I'm going to tell them, Carol, I said, do you do this? She turned every color there is. I said, answer me, do you do this? I was sitting in the doctor's chair and I said, Doc, do you do what Carol told me to do? He said, it's nice weather, isn't it? And all that time when I go down there, look, I mean, I go down, Carol Brent, in my college, my domain. But I go to her domain. But I do, I hate to say this, but I feel like I'm going for a final examination. So I get me several toothpicks. I never use any dental, but yes, I do. Children, I do. I use it. And while I'm driving to the dentist office, I bet you I use 15 toothpicks. I go between each, and every time I go, the doctor says, boy, you sure use that floss, don't you? He didn't know I crammed for that final on the way. But when I go to the dentist office, that's not my area of authority. It's not my area to judge. And because of that, I don't fly off the handle and say, that's what you're supposed to do that. I don't do that. And you're not supposed to fly off the handle in an area that is not yours. Now listen, I'm teaching Bible tonight, but I'm teaching more than Bible. I'm teaching the only way you can have law and order. You can't have any other way. You parents can't go up and tell Mrs. Morhowski how to run the nursery. They keep dirty up here. I'll dare you to check it with your house. Now, you may make suggestions to her kindly, but that's her area of responsibility and her area to judge. And you have your area to judge. And you ought to be allowed to judge in your area because God and people have chosen you for a particular area of responsibility. Law.